Two men walked to the temple in Jerusalem one day. One was a man who had many good works to his credit, while the other had no good deeds to speak of at all. Yet Jesus said that the one with no good works was the one which was on his way to heaven. Luke chapter 18. You say, well, how can that be? The Apostle Paul explained in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The difference depends on what we are trusting as the basis of our salvation. Today, I'm not going to delve into any deep teaching of God's word, nor am I going to go into a detailed exposition of a particular passage. What I'm going to do is request that you honestly ask yourself this burning question. What am I trusting to get me to heaven? No more important question could be asked, because upon the correct answer of that question depends your eternal destiny. First of all, am I trusting in my works? Now, these works may be good works. They might be religious works. Now, trusting in your own works is a natural response, because we've been raised to believe that we get only what we deserve. The raise, the promotion, the positions, the medals, the diploma, all of these are something to be earned. They don't come as a gift. They're to be earned. If we see someone else get something they did not earn, our sense of justice is offended. We say, that's just not right. And then we naturally transfer the same exact way of thinking into spiritual matters. We expect to earn our way into heaven. And the religions of the world agree with that philosophy. They will teach you that. Many churches across this land will teach you, be good, live a good life, do good things, help people, and God will let you into heaven. But trusting in our own works makes the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross unnecessary. If we can gain heaven on our own, then Jesus did not have to die a sacrificial death for our sins. That makes his death unnecessary at best and vain or worthless at worst. There was no need for him to go to the cross. No need for him to die such a horrible death and be spiritually separated from his Father. When he had cried in the garden, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me," Matthew 26, 39, this view says, Jesus, it is possible. You don't have to die on the cross. Don't be so foolish. It's not needed. But it was necessary. Because trusting in our own works can never, never save us. Jesus' death was necessary because we cannot save ourselves by works. That's why the Lord then prayed, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou, God the Father, wilt." Matthew 26, 39. The overwhelming testimony of the Holy Scriptures is that makes this plain. Jesus had to die for our sins. In the Old Testament, Isaiah had said in chapter 64, verse 6, "But we are all an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." All those things we think are so good in God's sight, they're horrible. We read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus speaking, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness so exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, outwardly, the scribes and Pharisees were extremely righteous. But Jesus said, that's not good enough. You have to be far better than that. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. even we have believed or trusted in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. James says in chapter 2, verse 10 of his epistle, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. I mean, if you could keep everything but just have one mistake, one sin, you're guilty under the law. And Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law shows us where we've gone wrong, but it doesn't save us. So we cannot earn salvation by trusting in our works. Let me ask another question. Secondly, am I trusting in Jesus plus my works? This means that I believe that Jesus' death merely opens the way. It was necessary. I couldn't make it on my own. But Jesus died on the cross to open the way, to make it possible then for my own works to get me to heaven. Well, again, trusting in Christ plus my good works is a common occurrence among people. People in churches across this land are doing this every day. They refer to Jesus as their Savior because they believe that he has made it possible for them to save themselves. They believe that Jesus plus their good works, plus their baptism, or plus their church membership, plus their whatever, ad nauseum, will get them to heaven one day. If you ask them if they're going to heaven, they'll say, well, I hope so. They hope they will add enough to Christ's sacrifice to redeem them. Indeed, tragically, many churches and denominations even teach this belief. But my friends, trusting in Christ plus my works makes the death of Christ insufficient. This view sees Christ's death as helpful, yes, even necessary, but not sufficient in and of itself, because Jesus didn't do enough. It holds that Jesus opened the way, but I must finish the way. He built the bridge spanning the chasm between me and God halfway, or two-thirds of the way, even 95% of the way, but I have to finish that bridge. And if I don't finish it, well, then I'm damned forever. Trusting in Jesus Christ plus my works does not understand the pure truth of God's plan of salvation. Jesus' death is sufficient in and of itself because he paid for our sin debt in full. As he hung upon the cross, our Savior cried out, "It is finished," John 19:30. The word "finished" there means paid in full. It would be used at that time for a person who had a bill, and when it was paid, the merchant would write across it, "Paid in full." Or if a person had been thrown in jail, when he came out, they would take the crimes that he had committed, and they would write across that, "Paid in full," the same Greek word tetelestai that Jesus used upon the cross. You see, when he cried that out, he was telling us our sins were paid for in full. Jesus did not make a down payment for our sins. Instead, he made the full payment. Salvation is not Jesus plus, it is Jesus period. Jesus paid for them. We can never add anything of merit to the sacrifice of Christ to gain our salvation. As the old song said so well, "For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's ask a third question this morning. Am I trusting in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation? My friend, trusting in Christ alone is the only way, the only way of salvation that is taught in the Bible. This is the testimony of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We read in John chapter 3, verse 36, these words of John, "He that believeth or trusts on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." He said, if you're not trusting in Jesus, God's anger is abiding on you. The only way to have eternal life is to trust in the Son. This is also the testimony of the Apostle Peter. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus' death paid for it in full. He then said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." If you'll only put your faith in Christ, your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll not be disappointed. He will save you. This is also the testimony of the Apostle Paul. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe, that trust, are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Acts 13, 38 and 39. And then he says in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, he was asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they, including Paul, said, "Believe." Believe what? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If you'll put your faith in him, he'll save you from hell. He'll save you from a worthless life. He'll save you from your sins, and he'll give you eternal life and a home with him forever. And then he wrote in that great book about salvation, the book of Romans, in chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Not works, believing. This is also the testimony of the Apostle John. John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him," Christ, "to them gave he power," or the authority, the right, "to become the sons of God, even to them that," what? "Believe on his name." John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe," trust, "that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And then toward the end of his life, he wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Not that you may hope you do, or think you do, or wish you do, but that you may know you do by putting your faith, your trust in Jesus and asking him to be your Savior. May I add one more testimony? That is the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Do you find works anywhere in there? Do you find any type of thing you have to do? All you have to do is trust. He did it all. You just believe in him. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, 47, verse 47, verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then notice his question. Believest thou this? Oh, my friend, I hope you will say, yes, I'll believe. I'll trust. Because you see, trusting in Christ alone accepts the death of Christ as totally sufficient. It's not trusting in Christ plus, but trusting in Christ only. That's sufficient. The death of Christ for us satisfied God's justice. The Bible says, for he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Well, there's a big word, propitiation. He's our propitiation. Well, what does that mean? Well, propitiation in the scripture simply means satisfaction. Jesus' death satisfied God's justice. He is our satisfaction. The message of the gospel is that we must be satisfied with the thing that satisfies God. God is not satisfied with our good works in any way, shape, or partial form. He is only satisfied with his own son's death on the cross. And that's what we need to trust in. Trusting in Jesus alone will save us and will give us a home in heaven. We must simply put our faith in Christ alone. Romans 5:1. The word of God tells us there, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put, saving faith means admitting that we are sinners, recognizing that Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son, died in our place and rose again, and placing our trust in him alone to save us. Not our good deeds or our religious efforts, not the church we attend, not our baptism, but in Christ alone to save us. Let me illustrate. In June of 1991, the Buffalo News told of a boy weighing 200 pounds who was drowning in the Allegheny River. He was clinging to a small vine about 150 yards downstream from the beginning of a 500-yard-long retaining wall, and he was about to go under. A woman weighing only 120 pounds slid down the 60-degree embankment. She leapt into the river, and she swam out to him. She told him to roll onto his back, and she pulled him upstream. All he could do was trust her to save him, which he did. He trusted, and she saved his life. Now, if he had said, oh, I need the help, and he'd have begun to fight, or he'd begin to struggle, or he'd try to help, he'd have taken them both under. He had to trust in her, and she saved him. We must depend upon Jesus Christ alone to save us. If we try to help out, we'll go under. We'll damn ourselves for all of eternity. But Jesus alone will save us. So I ask you again, what are you trusting in today to get you to heaven? If you're trusting in your good works or in Christ plus your good works, you're going to be eternally disappointed. But if you're trusting in Christ alone, you're as sure for heaven as if you were already there. If you've never placed your trust in Christ alone, won't you do so right now? Go to him in prayer and in faith, ask him to save you. And remember that the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him in prayer today, my friends, in faith and trust, and trusting him alone. Turn your life over to him. Ask him to be your Savior, and he will save you.